Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago a day after a judge told Texas to remove a buoy barrier from the Rio Grande designed to keep migrants from crossing. There's another development. A U.S. appeals court has granted a temporary stay, allowing Texas to keep the buoys in place as court proceedings move forward. Former Trump White House advisor Peter Navarro is convicted of criminal contempt of Congress after failing to respond to subpoenas issued by the January 6th House Select Committee. According to CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson,
the defense put on a very thin case, and what they argued is that this could be inadvertent, that this might be a mistake that Peter Navarro did not comply.
Danny Masterson, who appeared on TV's That 70 Show, has been sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for drugging and raping two women 20 years ago. CBS's Carter Evans has more from Los Angeles.
The Church of Scientology denies that it harassed the victims or prevented them from reporting the assaults. Masterson's attorneys plan to appeal the verdict, but for now, the actor won't be eligible for parole until he's 77 years old.
The heat in the Northeast and the South has been a challenge for schools without air conditioning. In Rhode Island, some schools canceled classes today. Others had early dismissal. Mixed reactions from parents in Providence.
I think it's a little crazy. We all went to school when we were younger, whether it was snow, heat. We all survived.
I'm happy with the decision. I thought it was way too hot, and she's been coming home complaining, so I think it was a smart decision.
Meantime, Hurricane Lee is a Category 4 storm that could become the first Cat 5 of the Atlantic season, headed near the Northeast Caribbean. And as Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen points out,
it is going to send out huge swells that will be affecting these Caribbean islands over the next couple of days. And so the ocean is going to be extremely rough.
It is now 1 week since convicted killer Danilo Cavalcante scaled a wall, climbed over razor wire, and jumped from a roof to escape from the Chester County, Pennsylvania jail. State Police Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens says earlier today there was a possible sighting, but no capture yet.
Cavalcante has clearly already obtained some clothing and other unknown supplies, and we want to minimize any opportunity that he might have to get anything more. It is very important we keep the pressure on him as we continue this hunt.
Britain's King Charles tomorrow will honor the first anniversary of the death of his mother, Queen Elizabeth, by spending the day at Balmoral Castle, the late monarch's Scottish summer home, and starting 10 days of national mourning. Severe flooding in Greece leaves at least 6 dead and 6 missing and villages cut off. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
AutoZone is more than a parts store. It's where we help you solve problems like,
sorry I'm late, my battery died.
And,
I need a jump, again.
At America's number one battery destination, you can find the right battery at the right price with options starting at only $89.99. And we offer free battery testing and charging whenever you need it. Get the parts and help you need to get the job done right at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Happy 62nd birthday, Granddad.
Thanks, sweetheart.
I got you this.
A mug. Oh, thank you. What does it say? Beware, if you are 60 or older, you may be at increased risk of hospitalization from RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, compared to adults younger than 60.
Not all dangers come with warning labels. Talk to your pharmacist or doctor about getting vaccinated against RSV today. Learn more at bewareofrsv.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast tonight with lows around 51. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 71. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Tomorrow night, lows around 48. Highs around 80. Saturday, under mainly sunny skies. 73. Sunday, chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Drilling leases that had been permitted in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and restored the refuge's decades-long drilling ban.
Protections to be restored to ANWR.
Yep.
Excellent news. We'll take it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Rick, 1-866-416-7425. So, a little major computer malfunction to start today's program. I think we've got everything under control thus far. So if you got a thought, question, comment, something in your mind, want to hear about it. Here's something interesting. Peter Navarro, guilty of contempt of Congress. Now it's interesting, 74-year-old Navarro, he had the one day of testimony, three prosecution witnesses, no defense witnesses. Didn't put up a defense, but he said, hey, I basically knew he was going to get convicted. He just weren't looking for the appeal. He could spend years behind bars. And what's interesting is, you know, again, this is what, you know, being a friend of what Trump gets you, maybe. This is how this works. Because according to the Washington Post, over the past week, there have been a number of sentences handed down. You had the Ricky Tarrio, 22 years. You got that Joe Biggs, 20 or 17 years. A number of other ones. But, you know, of all of the folks so far, about 700 years in jail sentences being handed down. More than 350 people have been sentenced to jail or prison time, average sentence, a little less than 2 years. And like I said from the beginning, the early sentences should have been longer. You probably would have gotten more people.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Fighting against others may have meant things a little bit easier. I don't know. But here's the thing. Trump's got their backs. Trump has their backs, especially the new ones. I didn't help the other ones. But the new co-defendants, he's going to hold a fundraiser. Evidently planning a big candlelight dinner fundraiser with the sons there at Mar-a-Lago. He says they're going to try and raise between $500,000 and $1 million. But here's the thing. I think a lot of people are going to start flipping because you start seeing people trying to sever themselves in other areas. Going to be an interesting couple of days. Now, you know, for me, I've been paying attention to some of the other stuff like this John Eastman. If you saw, evidently Eastman during the disbarment hearing, evidently refused to talk about. January 6th. I mean, he was asked about conversations that were had with you know Trump and Chuck Grassley about Mike Pence. Now, one of the weird things again about January 6th, and something I think we've talked about a couple of times over the last couple of years,
is Grassley, if you remember, Grassley said, evidently told reporters that he was going to preside over, Senate debate over disputes in the 2020 election. You know, and the quote was, well, first of all, I will be, if the vice president isn't there and we don't expect him to be there, I will be presiding over the Senate. This is the word. This is what he said. And this is what, you know, got people freaked out because what do you know? This was the day before. This was January 5th. What do you know that you're not telling us? What's going on here, Chuck? And you know, he's now saying, well, you know, I was misunderstood, misquoted, whatever. But why didn't, why didn't Eastman, you know, defend himself on this? Why didn't Eastman say anything about it? You know, tried to bail on it. Evidently, and this again, this is another one of those moments where, you know, somebody was expecting Mike Pence not to be there. Someone was expecting, you know, him to be somewhere else, which is interesting because Pence refused to get into the car with the Secret Service. This is one of those weird moments where, you know, again, I think there's a lot more that Pence isn't saying. There's a lot more there that I don't know, that you got to wonder. If he gets in the car with the Secret Service, where does he go? What undisclosed location does he end up in? You know, does he end up in a bunker somewhere? Now, of course, Eastman said that he refused to answer questions because it's client, attorney-client privilege. And he was asked who was the client, and Trump. Trump was the client. This is the thing that just drives me crazy, though, because, you know, these are supposed to be people who are patriots. These are supposed to be the people who love the country. These are supposed to be folks who are, I don't know, they wave the flag enough. They puff their chest out enough. It's one of those things where you got to ask some interesting questions. And I look at, you know, the trial. I hope that the hope gets televised. I want to find out what happened on January 6th. Because look, you know, they've done a great job of spinning the narrative. I have some Trump supporter friends who, quite frankly, don't believe anything that they hear. I actually asked someone about this. And they go, well, you know, there's always an excuse. That's just the liberal media. No, those were Chuck Grassley's words. You saw the reporting on it. You saw this. Pence himself saying, you know, you stuck on that parking deck. They built a gallows. I mean, what part of this are you? No, it didn't happen. And, you know, for me, I want to see the truth. I want to see what comes of this. Because ultimately, you know, I got to tell you, I don't know, as a country, I don't know that we can get past January 6th. I mean, I see it as one of those really important moments in the country's history that there needs to be absolute transparency. And what's interesting is anytime I bring something up, I get from my red hat crowd the canned responses, which are, this was the FBI's doing, it was Antifa. And my head, you know, just starts to spin. Like, I'm going, look, I didn't see any Antifa folks there. I didn't see anybody, you know, under the Antifa flag, wearing the Antifa uniform with the Antifa membership card. I didn't see any of that. I saw a lot of people who look like me. I saw a lot of people who you see at Trump rallies. I saw a lot of them. I'm waiting for the day when it's spinning, because I actually know a couple people who were there, and they're quite upfront about it. I was there. It was a patriotic thing, where it was rescuing the country, and I'm struggling with the polar opposite excuses of it was a patriotic day, nothing happened, it's all a hoax, it's all made up, it's all a sham, it's all the liberal media. And then on the other hand, we were defending the country, we were stopping the steal. And I'm going, so which is it? And this is I come back to, how do you hold two opposite views inside your head and continue to fight that? So I'm in a weird spot. I'm in a weird spot with some of this stuff, because, man, I look at what's going on in that courtroom, and I look at what's going on in places that we desperately need the truth to be shared. And I'm hoping people are paying attention. I'm hoping ultimately it's gonna come down to us seeing with our own eyes what happens. And then answering the question, do we believe in the rule of law? On either side, look, I mean, you know, because I've had people, what happens if Trump's not found guilty? That's our system. You know, the reality is our system is set up where 1,000, you know, guilty men go free as opposed to one innocent man going to jail. You know, maybe one of the guilty get away. But again, when I read the indictments, there's a lot there. And this is where, as a juror, as a citizen, as someone coming to it, you're going to have to, those people are going to be put in an interesting spot, because already what we know is there will be threats, there will be intimidation. They're already trying to taint the jury pool. Prosecutors are already saying, look, you know, he's doing all this social media stuff, which, again, as much as you may not like it, it's his right to speak publicly about this stuff. But it's our responsibility as citizens, as Americans, to believe in the system. Because, you look, don't tell me you believe in the Constitution. Don't tell me you believe in any of that stuff. The founding principles or any of that patriotic flag waving stuff. If you don't follow the rule of law.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions.
Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and
sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast tonight with lows around 51. Winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs level off around 71. Tomorrow, bright sunshine. Tomorrow night, lows around 48. Highs around 80. Saturday, under mainly sunny skies. 73. Sunday, chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
A senator and two-time vice president unworthy of any public honor. Why? Well, why would Georgians of 1853 create a monument to a lawmaker from another state? Answer, slavery. No politician in our history has been a more vehement apologist and promoter of human enslavement than Calhoun. Thus, racist Southern leaders revered him. A rich son of plantation privilege, Calhoun owned dozens of slaves. More shamefully, he built his political career by fabricating a hokey economic theory asserting that slavery was such a, quote, positive good that even white workers in northern factories should be converted to slave laborers. Worst of all, Calhoun opposed the democratic ideal of majority rule, crying that it allowed the many to interfere with the freedom of the elite property class, his own, to do what they wish with their properties, including slaves. He even favored outright plutocracy, proposing that the rich should be given a special right to overturn laws they don't like. This is Jim Hightower saying, while Savannah is doing the right thing by saying no to this autocrat, beware, for the Koch brothers network of today's plutocratic billionaires is organizing to impose his plutocratic order over us. To learn more, go to TrueNorthResearch.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So evidently, Vivek Ramaswamy and CNN are at odds. Evidently, they're locked in a dispute over... Evidently, there was supposed to be a town hall with Vivek. And evidently he was announcing it, you know, that there was going to, and evidently it wasn't. This is one of those things, one of those weird things about this guy, where he's that kind of pushy, where if you say, hey, we should do a town hall, he's already picked the date, the time, and is going to push them. And going to be interesting to see this, if he gets one. I'm going to be interested to see if he gets one. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top story of the day, our good friend Sarah Burris. She's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to check out the work that she does. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, happy Thursday.
Happy day to you as well. So Vivek, do you think he gets a town hall? Do you think he goes and he does his little Trump wannabe worst kind of person impression thing there?
I think he probably does, just because he seems to be the kind of pushy dude who's like entitled and believes that he should get whatever he wants. And CNN sort of operates like they don't want to upset anybody, regardless of who they are. And so I think that he's probably going to be a squeaky wheel on this and get whatever the heck he wants.
Yeah, see, at this point, if I was at CNN, I'm like, no.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Be like, you burned that bridge, my friend. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're never going to be the guy anyway.
Right?
See, this is the thing. I mean, this is where politics for me has really just become reality TV, and bad reality TV. Because, you know, the model is if you've watched reality TV, and to be honest, I haven't watched a lot of it, but it's always the a-hole that you remember from every show. The person who was nice, the person who were decent, you don't remember them. They got voted out early. It's always the person who was the backstabbing, snivelly little rat that seems to get the most attention. There he is.
People have written dissertations on this, like dating back to the real world on MTV. Like the person who was like the meanest on the shows, remember the one dude from Survivor, the bald dude that everybody hated? I mean, there's just like everybody. Omarosa is a good example.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Look at what has happened to her career, and now she's going to end up, they have a whole show now around villains that they're putting together in a reality show, and you're just like, wow, it's a reality show about reality shows. Like, that's how meta we've gone.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
that's really the sad reality of where we are.
I feel like this is the sort of Mayan prediction of the downfall of society, the reality show about reality show. Like, somewhere there's a pyramid that has this like sketched out, and we just haven't found it yet.
No, it's weird. But here's the thing. I'm watching some of the statements going on, you know, coming out of Georgia, and it's actually, you know, the fake electors coming out of Michigan. I'm looking at all this stuff. It seems like, and maybe you're going to help me here, but it seems like Rudy Giuliani is going to be the guy who takes the fall, I think, for just about everything.
You know, I don't know, because it seems like Sidney Powell has some sketchy behavior that she's dabbled in. And because of the whole Georgia thing, you know, like that she and Ken Cheeseborough want their trials to be on the rapid response, whatever, like they're fast tracking their trials. It kind of means that this is going to be our first crack at all of this. And so, I mean, it can kind of obviously go either way, but Sidney Powell just looks really bad in a lot of these cases. And obviously she's already dealing with being disbarred. And so I don't know if it's Rudy. I don't know if it's Powell. It seems like some of them, like Jenna Ellis, are thinking about flipping. We saw this week that we got a confirmation from the special counsel, Jack Smith, that the IT guy has confirmed that he is now a cooperating witness. I mean, it's been a heck of a week, and it's been a really bad one for Donald Trump.
No, we were talking about this, my producer and I, we were talking about it, you know, yesterday a little bit, about we should start doing a flip watch, you know.
Yeah.
Start, you know, because at some point the rats are going to all jump ship, because they know that, you know, one, The money is not going to be there to help them because Trump has a history of stiffing lawyers and people that, you know, he owes money to. And two, as it looks like he may not become president, do you bet your life on a potential pardon?
Yeah, and I think that's sort of what happened with the Proud Boys. You know, they had an option to take significantly lower sentences. Like, we're talking 6 to 8 years they could have agreed to plead guilty and get that in prison. Now you got Enrique Tarrio, who's in there for 22 years. Some of them are, you know, it's from like 15 to 20 years. It's bad. And you think about, I mean, Rudy Giuliani obviously is so old, and I don't know what happens if he gets sent to Rikers Island, right? But it's one of those things where Michael Cohen and I've actually talked about this, where he's like, there are certain people that you do not throw under the bus, and your lawyer is one of them, because they know everything. And Rudy Giuliani has had a relationship with Donald Trump for a very long time, so he kind of does know everything. And Rudy has the power to basically throw Trump under the bus, and Trump doesn't want to pay his legal fees.
They're going to have a candlelight dinner.
Family style dinner at Bedminster. And it's like, dude, you're asking your friends to give money to him. And I mean, he's racking up serious legal bills, but you're too much of a, you know, hard butt to sign off on a check to him. That just seems like, again, it's the Michael Cohen philosophy. If you never screw over your lawyer.
Yeah. No, because you're right. They know where the bodies are buried. And this is one of those weird things where it's surprising to me that Trump would give these people that much information, given the fact that he's been so, you know, secretive over the years and keeping only a select few around him. And yeah, it's a weird moment.
It is, but what is funny, like, speaking of the people that he keeps around him, some of these, you know, the IT guy who's a cooperator, there are a couple of other people that have, who had Trump-funded lawyers who have now decided that they are going to get their own lawyers, which that's kind of an indication that they're sort of looking to either make a deal or cooperate, or they're ready to throw Trump under the bus too. And I was watching an interview with, of all people, Chris Christie, and he was just like, you just know that Donald Trump is going to lay awake at night, every night, just thinking, crap, what did I say to them? What did I say to them? And it's true.
Do you think so? Do you think Trump has that kind of introspection?
I think he'll be afraid. I don't know that he'll be like, oh my God, what did I say to them? It'll be more like, oh crap, I said something stupid to them and I am screwed. Because he has no filter. And so he's said everything and done everything. And I mean, especially with the IT guy, he's the one who basically was told, you know, kill the closed circuit, the security videos. Right. So, I mean, that already is confirmation of obstruction of justice. So, I mean, they've already got him on that. So it's just, there's a lot of hurt going on with the Trump world right now.
Do you think it's going to matter, though? I mean, because, you know, I'm getting tons of responses from my red hat friends who are, you know, Trump's going to be back, and when you're going to be sorry, and this kind of, you know, whatever's going on in court doesn't matter. What's ever going on, because, you know, look, my red hat world thinks this is all just a giant witch hunt. But when you start laying out the things that he's being accused of, it's hard to deny that he actually did all these things.
No, that's the thing is if you watch these cases, and particularly with Georgia, I think it'll be a big deal because it'll be on television. They're going to walk through it just like the January 6th committee did. And what happened whenever the country was watching the January 6th hearings is it flipped the public opinion very quickly. And there's just not enough Trump supporters out there. So, you know, I really think that it's going to make a difference with folks. And again, like, his biggest problem, Donald Trump's biggest problem, is that he can't appeal to anyone other than his base.
Yeah. But what do you say? Because I've had a number of people reach out recently and go, so, you know, here's the thing, you know, Biden and Trump are neck and neck. Even with all of this horrible, you know, Trump is still way ahead of everyone else in the Republican primary. And some polling says he may actually win in the general. How's that even possible?
Yeah, that's not even possible. Here's so a couple of the polls, like the thing with the CNN poll that was released today, they oversampled Republicans and Republican leaning independents. And so whenever you have a pollster that's doing that, I'm asking why and what is the goal here? And, you know, is this really just about getting a story for CNN? And you know, the thing about national polls, too, is national polls don't decide an election.
Right.
You know, it's the state polls and it's the swing state polls. And the other piece of it is Donald Trump has been campaigning since the day he left office. Joe Biden hasn't, you know, been on the campaign trail at all. He hasn't even started to fight Donald Trump yet. He hasn't even said Donald Trump's name. He's like mentioned him, the other guy or the guy before me. So I feel like, you know, the campaign, Joe Biden's campaign is just sort of starting to get off the ground. They're just starting to hire some people. They've just put out like their first ads. And, you know, if you've got the guy who is doing nothing, who is doing no campaigning at all whatsoever and just doing the governing versus the guy who's been campaigning for years and you're neck and neck, that's a problem.
Well, I see that, but I'm like, the guy's been indicted, you know, what, 91 felonies or some outrageous number like this. And then the record that he had was terrible. And I love the tweet yesterday that Joe Biden put out, said the last guy didn't build a damn thing. And there's a picture of Trump, you know, making promises. And there's Biden saying, look, it's infrastructure decade. We're creating millions of jobs. I think that's the message. I think that's what they have to hammer every single day.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's been kind of the biggest problem with the White House is that, and I think with Biden in particular, his whole history is keeping his head down and doing his job. He gets stuff done. He gets sort of caught up in the minutiae with the senators. You know, he was like in on the whole negotiation thing with a bunch of, you know, the legislation. And I think that's because he likes that kind of stuff. That's, you know, shaking hands is all well and good. And he loves to, you know, get ice cream and meet people. But, you know, getting up on stage and talking about stuff, you know, is just, you know, he's going to say what he means.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
That's amazing, and everybody loves it.
Just go out there and be the human gaffe machine that you are.
Exactly. Like, that is the thing. The whole thing about his gaffes is that it makes him so, I think, relatable. And I don't know, that always made me really think of my grandpa and like appreciate that piece of him. So, and the guy's smart. Like, here's the thing. He can talk about the bills. He can talk about legislation. He can sure as heck talk about foreign policy. Donald Trump is just going to talk about, you know,
Donald Trump,
how, yeah, himself and North Korea. And that's really all he's got.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is one of the, again, another one of these, you brought up North Korea. This is one of the, we're in this weird moment where you've got now Russia and North Korea and China, you know, and it's, we're in a weird kind of political global position because I if Trump is reelected, I don't know which side of the divide the U.S. ends up on in the event that, Russia takes Ukraine, and do they go to, you know, Poland next? And do they get the old band back together? And then which side are we on?
I know that is a thing I think that I've heard some of the other G20 states are concerned about, that they're talking about sort of behind the scenes. And so I'm especially the fact that the G20 is going to be in India this time. It's going to be interesting to watch, you know, how things go there this time around. But you're right. Like, I don't know what it looks like. But at the same time, like, Trump is talking about jailing his opponents. So I'm like, crap, do we need to like find a country to flee to? I mean, it's unsettling.
No, but here's the thing. This is where my Red Hat crowd folks, you know, the threats that I get are no longer, I'm coming for you. Trump's coming, and they're gonna deal with people like you. There's a plan. There's the 2025 plan, and the Heritage Foundation's behind it. We're bringing back patronage. We're gonna be attacking, We're going to be attacking political government workers. You wait. It's going to be great.
I mean, it's hard to say, oh, that'll never happen, because we've seen what can happen. I think the big thing, the most important piece, will be what parts of Congress we keep. We've got a whole bunch of redistricting stuff going on right now, so it may very well be that the Republicans can't keep the House, which is hilarious. But we've got some Senate seats that we got to fight for this time around. So, yeah, gonna be, you know, think about it. We need that Congress to be solid and reasonable. Otherwise, you know, God knows what Trump could do to us.
We're gonna take an adventure moment here, and we're gonna go to the phone lines and see who's on line one. Who we got on the line, and what's on your mind?
Hello.
Yeah, that's you. What's on your mind?
Yes, this is Steve from Chicago.
Hey, Steve.
And I think it's a really interesting. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I think it's a really interesting topic because, you know, those of us old enough to remember the Republican Party of old, remember when, you know, they fought for decades against the evils of the Iron Curtain and the Soviet Empire, and how they were going to take over the world someday. And I'm just amazed, you know, I mean, Vladimir Putin came out of the KGB tradition. He was actually part of that institution. And how is it that Republicans now are just willing to look the other way? So in other words, when it was an evil communist empire, totalitarian regime, it had to be defeated at all costs. We had to fund NATO. We had to engage with them around the world, Korea, Vietnam, you name it. But now that it's not officially a communist state any longer, then totalitarian rule and aggression is just fine. I mean, I don't know how you do the intellectual gymnastics that are required to get from that to where we are now, of a Republican Party that basically says, oh, Russia, you want to invade? People, go ahead. We don't care. We're not going to intervene. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. How are these the people who love Reagan and who proclaim him as Saint Reagan somehow? Ronald Reagan would be rolling over in his grave to find out that Russian aggression was being unchecked.
No, I'm right there with you. Siri, you want to jump in?
Oh, Steve is 100% correct. I think at this point in the Republican Party, Ronald Reagan would be a Democrat. That's the thing that's so
again,
crazy.
He'd be back
here.
To being a Democrat?
Yeah, I think he would be, because he's, you know, anti-Russia. And I mean, that's the thing that Steve's saying, is that the Republican Party has changed so dramatically. For anybody who was paying the slightest bit of attention through the 80s, like my parents were, those are the Republicans who are just like, what on earth have you done? And those people are the ones that you're losing. Like, those are the folks that are just like, no, I'm done with you.
Yeah, but the way I see it is the reason that, and the way it's been explained to me, is the reason the Republicans are pro-Putin is he hates the same people they do. Gays, minorities, you know, the others. So, you know, in that world, you know, and he's hyper-capitalist. So at least that's what I'm told.
And if I can add this, you know, for people who are paying attention, there's been, you know, this sort of downturn in terms of how we look at the Soviet Union. I'm sorry, in the car here. Well, we look at the Soviet Union, and there's been also revisionism with regard to the Nazis and Adolf Hitler and so forth. All of a sudden, they're not quite as bad as we framed it. Mm-hmm. You know, go figure that sort of thing is on the ascendancy, because 30 years ago, if you would have said it, you'd have been laughed out of a classroom, or you would have been ridiculed. We fought the Nazis for a reason. Your grandparents died there, you know, fighting them. We fought two wars in the 20th century, you know, and to save Europe. And then this idea that now, oh, well, you know, the Nazis were misunderstood, and really, you know, we need to shift the blame as to who we really hate, because it's China and other places, and, you know, and Vladimir Putin and Russia, they aren't really that bad.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I appreciate the call, Steve. Thanks so much. Good stuff.
Thank you.
No, I mean, this is one of those weird moments. And I've been talking about this for a while because, you know, I grew up during the 80s. I remember mutual assured destruction. I remember we were at odds. And to see that the party of Reagan, to see the Republicans doing what they're doing right now is kind of frightening. And I go back to what I said, and I stand by it. I don't know what side, if Trump is in the Oval Office, I don't know what side of a war in Europe we take.
You know, I don't know either. The thing that Steve was pointing out is it really has become, and you were saying with the Republican Party, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. you know, the people who are against the gays, against, you know, all of these different groups, those are my friends now. And we've seen how that movie plays out in other countries, and it really does not work well long term.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, for a lot of countries that have been out there for more than 250 years, they have kind of a broader perspective on things. And I just don't know why. I don't know why Republicans have decided that they are willing to compromise that piece of themselves, particularly Republicans in the Senate. Like, that's the thing that blows my mind, is it's like, you people know better because you were around during World War II. You're 900 years old. Like, Chuck Grassley, for real, Chuck Grassley is like 100 years old or something, right? Like, I mean, he's older than Mitch McConnell at this point. So,
no, I mean, Grassley's a perfect, like, example. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, and I talked about it before you came on, the fact that he said, you know, Mike Pence might not be there. I'm going to preside over the Senate and all of this stuff, because I want to know what he meant by that. Now he's saying he was misrepresented and all that nonsense. I think there was much more to this, but we will find out. Last, I got to get your thoughts on this before I let you go. We saw the first Republican presidential debate. Trump was a no-show, of which I got to be honest, if I was advising Trump, I would have told him to stay away from all of these debates. Don't bother. I wouldn't go anywhere near them. I wouldn't give them any credibility whatsoever, because they're all the child's table, so to speak, you know, the frame from the last debate. But Trump wants to debate Meghan Markle.
So this is the craziest story. He's interviewing Hugh Hewitt, and there's like this whole thing about, you know, Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis debating each other, because basically Gavin Newsom has just been needling the dude for years now. And so Hewitt was just like, well, what about you? Like, who do you want to debate? Like, what about Meghan and Harry? Do you think that'd be a good ratings grabber? And it's like, really? Like, this is how far we've gone now. We've gone all the way to British tabloid level with this race. Like, that's how bad this campaign is. Can we not please just be a normal, have like a normal political conversation with people? Or no. Does it have to be sensationalized?
Yes.
Reality TV?
No, and on that side of the aisle, yeah. Because here's the thing, here's the reality. And this is what I've been saying for the longest time. Republicans don't have any ideas. So if you have no ideas, if you have no policy aims, if you have no way of selling yourself as a functional party with actual governing principles, you've got to make a sideshow. You've got to be the circus. You've got to be the bread and circus that they are. And so not surprising at all.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. And this is where we are now. I think what would be interesting to me is if Trump is going to be brave enough to debate Joe Biden.
No, I want him to debate Meghan Markle. Where's she at? I now got to see this.
I want to get in here both to it, because I think, you know, Meghan is too nice. I think Harry just like flattens him with his sweet smile and British accent.
I saw that yesterday.
I have a thing for the gingers.
Okay. Well, you know, we've all got our thing. I do want to give.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets, and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.